You know, what I think about the Land Claims Act is that I know through studying it, it's just done in such a rapid way so that they could get to the oil up in Prudhoe Bay. I know for a fact, and they just went all through the whole state to get that oil out. And they kind of like, you know, stepped on feet and hands, and because there was the oil shortage, or there was gonna be one, they figured. And even if they didn't make the act, there would still be no changes. These corporations didn't do anything for the people, I don't think. Not that I could see. Few businesses, which are, a lot of them are failing in this place here, Tanna. I don't think they did the right thing. It was such a rush job. I think they went about in the wrong way.
Do you have any ideas about what you might like to see done at this point?
Well, I would like, if, you know, I know corporations, you know, all around the corporations like Exxon Corporation, Texaco, all of them are probably pretty wealthy people, you know. And we've been in corporation for 12 years now and we're still poor, you know, still. So that's a pretty good proof that the act isn't working. And we just got, what, 8 or 9 more years left. And I don't think it's going to get any better unless there's a better economy plan for the people. That is what I understand they made. They wanted the people to be more business oriented so they could take care of this land and profit off it and all that. That's a pretty big debate right there, because, well, it gets all tangled up, because how is someone supposed to profit when they're still trying to hold on to their traditions and culture, you know? I mean, I would rather keep my tradition and culture than, you know, like, say, for instance, tear the hills back there for some kind of minerals back over here and then not have any caribou come down here so we could eat, you know, or caribou or moose or whatever. Same as go for the ducks, and like if they decide to, well, it's all really kind of like, I could see where they tried to fix that little problem with, you know, carrying on tradition with the non-profit, and then the profit corporations trying to, you know, make money, but they keep failing because bad management, the whole thing, you know, the whole works. Can't seem to really get anyone to do the right job. And when someone wants to do the right job, usually it's a battle. I mean, you know, for instance, Bud Williams being in the Tan, a chief's non-profit corporation, and he was in there and he didn't want no one to take his seat. He think he's doing a good job, but I never seen nothing. He never did. I mean, he never did nothing for Tan except take away our hospital, which was a good economy plan for this place. I mean, that's how I feel, you know. I think there's a way to, if we could just get the right people there, or I don't even really think that act was right, because it was a rush job. I mean, for 20-year contract, you know. I mean, I know I'll be living more than 20 years. And I don't see nothing in the future for me with this corporation unless
Some people have suggested that an extension, there be an amendment to extend the 1991 deadline.
No, I don't think so. I think the whole act is, I think a whole new act and legislation need to be put through where we can manage the land in a different way besides putting it in these corporations.
Do you have any ideas about how you'd like to see?
Well, if everybody would come up with their own economy plan, like, you know, besides using oil for electricity and, you know, wanting more oil from Prudhoe Bay, you know, so it could run our power plant. Okay, if we had it that way, then we wouldn't need the act, because the act was there so that we'd get more advanced and more in the Western culture, you know. What I mean? More into making money and profiting off land. But I think it just needs to be in a different act and done differently, because the act is not working.
So you would see having, not having the corporations, but having the land held in some different way by the native people?
Yeah, by like the native village of Tanana, instead of the city council here that in Tanana. The city runs this whole town. They even hire their own people, their friends, you know, to do work. And so then everybody else is without a job, you know. But it's a really big mess up, I think, because, that's why I'm here, because I'm concerned, because it's so messed up, you know, try to untangle this thing. I mean, some kind of economy plan has to be, something has to be done, especially about this town. The city isn't doing it, somebody else is going to have to.
When you say economy plan, can you explain a little bit what you mean?
Well, I would like to see our hospital back. I wish the federal government would get their shit together, oops, excuse my language, but so we could have, you know, we could have jobs here, more jobs here like it was and it used to be. And a fish plant. But those things are, I know the federal government could take care of, but not the city, whereas it's all state this and state that, and, you know.
What kind of, how do you make your living?
How do I make my living? Well, I look for jobs here and there. I travel and look for a job.
To grow up here, is this your home?
Yeah. But I would like to see more jobs here, and no one's creating them. And I thought that's what the contract, part of the contract, was supposed to be. I think that's what it was meant to be, but it just not working.
By the contract, you mean
ANCSA?
Yes, I mean ANCSA. Yeah.
Well, thanks very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Can we ask you to talk a minute?
Yeah, what should I say?
Tell us what your thoughts are about the Claims Act.
Claims Act?
Mm-hmm.
Everything just went the wrong way after land claims.
How is it different?
It was because the people wouldn't really put their hands onto it. Like, there's people here, my own children, my husband was raised up here at the mission, and his grandfathers, his aunties and all had buildings there. And when the land claim come up, I told him, sign for it this way, and went to that meeting in Fairbanks, and I told them about it, so they told me what to say. No, everybody said, no, it belonged to the church, it belonged to the church. Well, church didn't go cut the logs to put up them buildings. They didn't buy the windows. They didn't buy the dishes. I know that. I know them people since 1908. I mean, my husband knew them from 1908. But in 1918, I come up, and I know all them people, because my father used to help them, a lot of them people. And he told me before that, way a couple of years, you know, we do bookkeeping. He was in Alaska Native Brotherhood from Juneau, around there someplace. And he showed me how they did it. And he said, these people, he says, you might get married around here. So he said, pay attention to this. So he told me how it should be run and everything. And at the same time, in 1927, he showed us a paper where he got the homestead done at Grand Creek. And he said, I might not live long time, he said, you don't know. But he said, I'm fixing it up so you'll get the land. He said, you and your brother. And he said, I'm fixing it up, but he said, I don't want you to sell it. He said, hang on to it. Someday you might have children. If your children don't want it, well, put it in the paper, in your will or something, they say. Have it so that they won't sell it, and which we never did.
Is this allotment land?
No, that's homestead years back in 1921.
Mm-hmm. And that land is still in your family?
Mm-hmm. And we went to, we were supposed to go out to Washington or some place, but we couldn't afford it. So the lawyers came up, and we met them in Fairbanks, and they fixed the papers up for me. Because before my brother died, he signed the paper. He told me that was mine, and I better not sell it. So I didn't.
How about the corporations? Do you have any involvement in that? Did you get any... how do you think that's worked out?
I don't think it worked out. Like I say, two of my children have to go and buy the land up there, which their grandfathers had lived on. They went and had to buy it. My daughter's bought one. And it's way out there. We know that ground. We were up there. So we know what kind of ground, but you see? Now half of these, a lot of these, my relatives and Lee's relatives both, the young people growing up, they got no land. They have to turn around and buy it for maybe $3,000. And where are they going to get the money? See, they're just, so nothing worked out. I don't know. I can't figure it out. But we had made a will, Lee and I, both. That's about 5 years ago when he was getting sick. We got the lawyers and we made the wills out. So our children, the ones that's living, get some, and the rest get, you know, we divide it amongst them, our land. Like, he owns the land up at his trapping place up at above Manly. He owns that. That was him and the surveyors already went up. And at Rapids, We had that, but the police never come back, BLM guys. We went up there 3 times and we didn't do a thing. I just showed them and we have all them places there fixed. Because I showed them the papers that the Army engineers and the Fish and Wildlife had given us. And there was only Lee and I there all the way through so many years.
In 1991, when you can sell your shares in the corporation, what do you think about that?
No, I don't go on that. I've been telling my children that trying not to. Like, I told them that each one of them, that we had put them in the will, and we don't want them to sell it. We don't want them to sell nothing, none of their stuff. Even if they don't get the money, the heck with it. They ain't going to get rich. If they get the money, yeah, what will they do with it? They'll go party and just, that's it. But if they have something in the stock, well, their name is there, and that's good enough, I think.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Give us your name.
Joe John.
I'm sorry?
Joe John.
This is Joe John.
My father-in-law had homestead down here about 15 air miles. The Cold Road Station. I got the paper here that they were supposed to belong to my wife. But she never said nothing to try to get it. So I've been working on it for 3-4 years. Try to claim that land. It's been surveyed. And you put this tree there, fill off the... There was a paper there. But I don't know what happened to it. And I knew there was a witness tree there and it fell down, but I got the number. When I got the letter, they said it belonged to my wife. Well, it's all right, it was belonged to my wife. I've been trying... My children hasn't got no ground here in town. I try to buy ground up there at the mission. What used to belong to the mission? What used to belong to the natives? I understand. The first preacher that came down here, I don't know what year, around 1904, somewhere around there. That's where they built that church. Well, they claimed that ground up there, the whole thing, the church did. And they were selling it. I know they were selling it, and I tried to buy a piece of ground for my children and my grandchildren. But they wouldn't let me buy it. They told me it'll take you too long to build on it. Well, what's up there now? Hardly any building up there. I don't know. If I get a hold of this ground down here that used to belong to my grandfather, my father-in-law, when they try to put this native of Alaska in the reservation, that's when all the chief up and down the Yukon River got together and got up here in Mission of Our Savior, the name is. They all had a meeting there and they collected money. A fellow by the name John Forger took them up to Fairbanks. And they had a meeting there. Paul William was an interpreter. He was went to college outside. And this one young preacher in Fairbanks helped them. And they won that case, trying not to get into reservation. Well, they told them, when you go back, say,
State Homestead, which is 160 acres. It's a half mile square. That's what my father-in-law got down here, about 15 miles by airline. I've been trying to get a hold of that, but I haven't got no deed for it yet. And I don't want to sell it. I don't want my grandchildren to sell it because if they got no job, they can go down that trap. Used to be a pretty good trap line down there. This right across from there, there's three trapping line, old trail. And right straight back from the house, there was a trap back there when I was living down there. And I haven't got the deed of it yet. I don't know what they're waiting for. Maybe they're waiting till I die so I can claim that ground, homestead. Seems like they want me out of the way before they do anything on it. Well, this, after 1991, if our children, grandchildren, sell their ground, what they'll have to back them up? They'll have nothing. They'll have nothing to back them up. If they hang on to that homestead, they can move down there and trap down there, fish down there, make living that way. It's the only way I could see. From now on, it's even right now, it's hard to get a job. There's lots of them here. Try to get a job, there's none here. We got a white guy for mayor. He hired his own people. He don't care for natives. He don't care to give natives jobs. Lucky thing, I'm getting pension. That's how I live. I'm getting so old, I'm going to go out to old people's home sometimes. I can't work no more. 28th of next month, I'll be 85. So I don't wear it for myself, I just wear it for my grandchildren. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
She can't talk about it.
My husband could talk. Of course, I couldn't.
You pushed.
My name is Nikki Sweetser. My opinion on the ANCSA Act is something that happened entirely too fast for anybody to realize what was going on, and here it is 12 years later, and we're still wondering what happened. And the way I feel about it is the shareholders or the people, I should just say the people, don't have no information on what's going on, or, you know, don't have the get up and go to go after it. And what I'd like to say, you know, for young people, is go after it and go find out, you know, what's happening, because here I am, you know, I don't even know that much about it myself, and I'm just starting on the land, how everybody got their land. Well, I was a little too young then, so I didn't get no land, and today I still have no land. Not like they say, you have to go buy it now. like to see the corporations get more involved with the people. What the people feel about what they should do.
Yeah.
Jeez, well, everybody's walking around. I'm about to say what I forgot.
I'm Helen Peters. And what I would like to say about land claim is when it started back there, I have 8 children. And they had to be 18 before they had to before they could get land. And they were all too young. And now, and now they're all without land. All of them. Except from their dad. Their dad passed away a year ago. And we have his land. And she's right. There's many things that our people hasn't been educated to, you know. Many things. Maybe like always, we're always so behind on everything. And it just, I don't know what you need to do. I myself don't even know what you need to do in order for it to be known, to let them know what's happening. And there's so much to be done and so much to be said, and we're so few. And we don't have leaders. We don't have very many people that speak out and go out to. And I don't know why, back in 50s or 60s, our people that graduated from there just stay put and hasn't got nothing to go forward with. And I don't know what happened that year, but seems like all our young men and women are just staying here without doing anything for themselves. Not like even if they went out and tried to do something for themselves, they never got help. I'll give you one. My daughter, she went to Fairbanks to go to the university there. She didn't get all her grants, so she just got depressed and went downtown. She's the one that got killed. And many of them, that's the route they go when they don't get any help. I know. I see it. It's a bad way to go, but we need something. We need people to stand up now. We need all the people to stand up together and start speaking what they think, even if it's wrong. We need voice. That's what we need here. We need voice. All I hear is people griping, but you need voice here. You need to say what you think, even if you think it's the wrong thing to say. You must say it, because that's the only way this place is going to pick up. That's the only way this town is going to stand up, if you start saying something for yourself in public, not in little corners and not in houses. In public, you got to say it. You have to stand up and speak for yourselves. And boy, we can't let this one man run this whole town. No way. We got to stand up and say, get him out. We can't let this one man run this place. There's too many of us. And that's the way we need to speak. That's the way we need to talk. That's the way we need to get our young men out there, women out there, doing something for themselves. I better quit before I keep on.
Thank you, Mrs. Peters.
Did you want to say anything at all about the corporations or how that's worked out?
Well, I don't think we've learned very much from them. I don't think we've gotten very much out of it. And I think if we stay in depression like this, I think in 99, whenever it falls, I think all the young people is going to sell out whatever they got if we don't do anything now. And that's I think that's what the state may be even looking for us to do. Maybe that's what's going to happen if we don't do something now, that all our kids are just going to sell out just for the money if we don't do something now about it. We need to educate our children, and we need to tell them that, and you need to come in and tell us. The people that got the authority over us need to come in and tell us what we need to do and how we need to do it.
By the people in authority, do you mean in the corporations?
In the corporations, yes. And I know many times when we wanted to keep our hospital, I realize now after so many years that we didn't stand up for ourselves. We didn't do the right things. We didn't go to Washington when we had chances to go. We had to send a lot of people out there to voice for us, but we didn't do that. We sent two, maybe, or three. Not enough. We need to do that now. We need to have voices. We need people to speak up. It's you can't keep quiet and win something. You gotta talk. You gotta say what you think. You gotta stand up for your rights, and or else everything is gonna close in on us and shut down. That's the thing it's gonna be. I've been many places. I've been to a lot of places outside, and I see the Indians out there. We don't want this to happen to us. We don't want to be sit on reservations, and this is what's going to happen. And we can't go up the river and kill a moose, or we can't go out there and on our over Haysloom pick cranberries, because it's going to be owned by the state, and we wouldn't be able to get in there if we keep our mouth shut. This is what's going to happen to us. And I'm not satisfied.
I'm not native, but I remember about, Stanley Zaray. I've lived in Tandon about 11 years now, or around here. And I remember back when all this was being thought up, and I'm probably just a pessimist, but I remember thinking it was probably just a good way to shove the oil line through to the Knob Slope, and it probably produced the effect that probably a lot of people in power wanted, and that was just to get the land out of the hands of the people so they wouldn't have any hassle doing what they wanted with the land. And that was my pessimistic viewpoint back then, and I still have it right now.
Don Johnson, I'm...
Don Johnson.
In... the Tuzetna Corporation. I haven't kept up too much with the corporation business. I do know one thing about the Tuzetna Corporation, that I do feel that they started out with a pretty fair business, grocery store and flying business, and for some reason it never did turn out right. Probably poor management, or I really don't know what the deal was. I personally feel about the Alaska Native Land Claims Act that it wasn't done right to start with. They gave the native people so much time to get their land marked out and whatever. their native allotment. And now, this other thing about 1991 came up where you could sell your shares in the corporation. I could see where it is kind of bad, and kind of a lot of us don't really understand what it could do to a corporation like Tozitna. There's people that might want to sell their land now and might do the corporation bad in a way for later years. So the only thing I personally feel about selling shares in 1991 is that the corporation or the native corporation should really encourage their shareholders to get together and have meetings, that something like this would never happen to Tozitna.
I'm Lee Albert. I'm in the Native Council for the past, been active in Native Council for 3 years.
You mean the IRA Council?
IRA, yeah. And all my complaints would be, was I would like to see a better education, and the health services are very bad, where there's toxic waste all over wherever the Air Force was. And I think that's important, to look after the health of the people.
Talking about the land claim settlement act, it's 1971 they started, and we still don't get our land.
Excuse me, sir, could you say your name?
John Starr.
This is John
Starr. And seemed like the law was sitting. They're putting out more land lotteries. The federal government is putting out more land lotteries. It's like this woman over here, she's talking about trap line up there, where the old man had trap line. Okay, there's, on the Dugan Bluffs there, they got a land lottery there. And I seen the people that's coming from the States getting land there. And what's going to happen to their trap line and their land? The longer this, we don't get our land claim settlement back, we don't get our land, we'll have no land if they're going to put up all that lotteries all over. They was going to put up one down the river here. And they got, since the land claim settlement act came out, it's like they put out more laws too for the natives. You can't do nothing, just like you're tied up. They'll tell you when to fish, and they'll tell you when to stop your wheel, and the more laws come out. And we don't even get our land claim settlement back, and we don't even know how much land we got. So I don't know how long we're going to wait. I don't know what's going to come 1991. Probably wouldn't still get our land around here yet then.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Ava Edwardson, and the Land Claims Act, I feel, like the majority of the people, was not done right either, because it was passed too fast, and the people who signed it were not looked upon as leaders of the people. So in for the other countries who are looking at the Land Claims Act, one thing I would say to them is not to be pushed into a time frame that they are not comfortable with, and to make sure that the people who are speaking for them are truly the speakers for them. And another thing to involve more of yourself into your land claims, like your educational system and your social network systems and your everyday life into the land claim settlement that you are, that they would be seeking for. What we could do today is to involve our school system more into the corporations, also to involve the IRA, the traditional governments, in with the corporations. As of now, the corporations, I feel, are not involving themselves as they could be. They are, how should I say, they are keeping themselves separate. They see themselves as a separate entity to make a profit, but this is not working because they are not listening to what the people are saying, what they would like to have, and then to act on what the people are saying to make a profit that way. If we could redo the ANCSCA Act, that would be good. Well, for instance, I would not have the 1991 or the selling of the stocks, or even not to give the corporation the land, leave it in the traditional hands as it was before. Like we've all been hearing here tonight how the land at Mission belonged to all of us before the church, and the land here belongs to all of us before the state entity of the Land Claims Corporation came into being. So if we could rectify that, I think we would have a good start again.
Thank you, Mrs. Edwards.
My name is Helen Saray, and I'm I think the Land Claims Act went through too fast. And I am concerned for the children who were too young to enter into the Land Claims Act, who do not have land now. And that's all I have to say.
My name is Al Grant. I live here in Tanana. I'm also enrolled in the Tojitna Village Corporation and a regional corporation called Doyon. I gave a testimony a couple of days ago, and I've been thinking about the reports that I've been hearing about from different people. And earlier I stated that I was very unhappy with the Settlement Act because of the fact that it wasn't properly implemented. And since that time, I heard one Caucasian said, well, what good came out of the act? And his report or reply to me was that the good that came out of the act was the fact that you people had a settlement that stopped the state and federal government from totally selecting around your villages. And I never thought about it from this point of view, and I thought it was a pretty good reply myself. So since then, I've been thinking, now that we cannot turn back the clock or time, we should try to make the best out of what we got. Like John Jr. said, we haven't got the title to the land, and I agree with him totally. I believe it was designed back that way by our country's fathers in Washington, D.C., so that this act will fail. I had a question that really perplexes me, and it is, how can the federal and state government tax our lands when it's not developed, it's undeveloped lands? How can you tax people, a business entity, if it's not making any money? The only time you tax any entity is when they're profit making.
Well, under ANCSA, for 20 years after your corporations get the land, the undeveloped land can't be taxed. But after 20 years goes by, 20 years after the conveyance, the state could impose a tax on the land, whether developed or undeveloped. Right now, the state can only tax Native corporation land that is developed. It can't tax undeveloped land. But 20 years after conveyance, and that for some corporations may mean 1992, others 1993, 1995, 97, and so on. After that, if it's used only for subsistence, that is, isn't generating any income, it could still be taxed by the state. So that's a possibility. No more than that, but something that people should keep in the back of their minds. And of course, here you are shareholders in the largest private landowner in the USA, Doyon. It has a lot of land, 12 million acres, I believe. And if the state were in the 1990s to impose a tax on land, the largest private landholders in the state are Native corporations.